Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 95 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff, sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, Nestor, brother Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we have toy spotting, we've got news, we're going to jump into our new nostalgia segment, we got your secret question, and we're going to end it out with the listener segment. By the way, we also have an omission, but we'll get to that in a second. What'd you think about this show, Scott?
I think it's going to be a strong show. I'm feeling good. You're feeling good. You're nailing the intro so far. It's all good.
Give it time.
Yeah, yeah. We can go sideways super quick, so just stay tuned.
Yeah, we've gone off the rails numerous times on this intro.
It happens. You know, it gets late sometimes. We want to finish up. Gets a little crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Plus all the drinking you do.
Dude, these Powerade Zeros, man, they put me over the edge.
You're amped.
The best two ways to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up the Fully Posable Goes Retro and the Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt. You can purchase the pin and the hashtag Fig Life t-shirt combo for $20, Scott. For $20, they can have the shirt and a pin. They can put the pin on the shirt. Remember like when we used to do that when we were kids?
Yes, or when we put our pins on our hat.
Yes. We would have the A's Giants split hat and then put the Giants pins on one side and the A's on the other. That hat was ridiculous.
Yeah, that hat was pretty much an abomination.
Yes, absolutely. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, thanks to you, I remembered the iPod.
Yes, you would have forgot it again. Yes. But I'm trying to give you a positive streak here. Remember it every week.
Yes, I appreciate that. I should just put down in our show notes, bring iPod.
Yeah, it'll say, even before episode 95, grab the iPod.
Exactly. This one comes in from Chili Bob.
Chili Bob?
Chili Bob, yes.
Not to be confused with Chili Dog?
Or Chili Willy. Remember the cartoon character?
I do remember that.
I used to watch him all the time when I was a kid. The subject of this was wrestling toy gods. Holy crap.
Whoa.
What?
Gods?
Yeah, dude.
Like as in JBL's a wrestling god, we're the toy wrestling figure gods?
Dude, we are the wrestling toy gods.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I'm worthy of such a title. I'm just a dude with a podcast.
I'm looking at Zack Ryder's toy collection. I'm like, that's more of a god, you know? Chili Bob said wrestling toy gods. If you're looking for a podcast about wrestling toys, this is the podcast for you. From store findings to retrospectives on older licenses, this podcast has it all. Not to mention the audio quality is top notch. That one, we wanted to make sure we did when we first started this, is we had to make sure our audio quality was, as he said, top notch.
Absolutely. You notice a huge difference when you listen to other podcasts.
Oh, big time, dude. Like you'll hear some other people's and you're just like, I can only go about 20 minutes in this and I got to turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, thank you, Chili Bob, for sending that in.
Thank you, sir.
You can also send any audio questions or anything else at all to fullypuzzablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, here is our omission. Last week, and thank you to Jason Linick, one of our longtime supporters, longtime listeners, we forgot to mention that Batista was going to be in the Hall of Champions.
Yes, we did. Another Batista figure.
Yes, but he comes with that WrestleMania 21 contract.
Yes, that is very cool. And I'm actually surprised that we forgot that one, because I did notice that. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool touch. You get the contract with it. Yeah, and then we just forgot to talk about him.
Whoops.
Yeah, I think it's because neither of us were really big fans of Batista, and neither of us are clamoring for another Batista figure, so I honestly think we just, like, made that figure white noise, in our list of figures that we were looking through, and we just kind of spaced on it. But thank you, Jason, for bringing that to our attention. Jeff will be better about that next time. I blame him entirely.
As well as you should. I put the notes together.
Yep. I blame nobody but you.
Batista will come with the World Heavyweight title, the WrestleMania 21 contract, and that's it. And a belly button tattoo.
And a belly button tattoo. God forbid they forget that.
Yes, details, Mattel. Come on.
They're all over the belly button tattoo.
Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
Yes, I did the normal Walmart Big Lot strikeout gig that I'm very famous for. And I need to report our Walmart did get that Survivor Series end cap that's been shown all over Twitter recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it was filled with old battle packs, old elites. In fact, it went back as far as the Nasty Boys Elite Series, which I don't recall that number off the top of my head. But those were the oldest figures they had in there. They also had the Becky Lynch Elite, the Enzo and Cass Elites, the Apollo Crews Elite, a bunch of older ones thrown in there. Some of the old battle packs, the Outsiders, the Usos, American Alpha. Those were all straight up passes for me, especially since Ringside is having a Thanksgiving sale right now, and you can get the Nasty Boys for like $30 as a pair, whereas at Walmart, I think they were $20 each. So that was a definite pass for me on those Nasty Boys. Becky Lynch, I was tempted, but I'm picking up the Walgreens exclusive Becky Lynch, so I passed on that Becky Elite as well. Big Lots, all they had left were basics, but they are stocking up for Christmas, so I'm hoping within the next week or two they'll get more elites in. And I came home from work last night, beat, step over our dog gate, walk into the kitchen, and what's sitting in the spot where I always put my wallet and keys? But the Sasha Banks Walgreens exclusive figure.
Nice.
Yes, I was so happy. It's one I've been looking for, haven't been able to find, and the wife spotted it, picked it up for me, brought it home. Super pumped, dude. I love the figure. I wish that it had the sunglasses on in the package so it could hide that face. But aside from that, dude, that figure is awesome. I love it. Love the belt, too. That belt is top-notch.
Glad you got that, dude.
Yes, yes. It's a good add to the collection. I love it.
Did you open it?
No, because I might get that one signed.
That'd be a good one to get signed.
You know, real quick, before we get to your toy spotting, Poetic Prophet, or I should say at Poetic Prophet on Twitter, he and I were having kind of a back and forth on Mint on Card Collector, since you brought up opening Sasha Banks, had a back and forth about opening and not opening figures, i.e. mint on card guys and loose figure guys. I tend to fall on both ends of the spectrum because he asked that if you and I could just kind of touch on it. I fall on both ends of the spectrum. Like you asked me, am I going to open Sasha Banks? Well, there's a good chance that Sasha could do a signing and that would be a beautiful figure to get signed and put up on the wall. I would probably go with a hot pink.
Mm-hmm.
Quick opinion. But I tend to open figures that I know I'm not going to have a chance at getting signed. Or if I do have to open a figure, I make sure I have two of them because I do like to have a mint on card, really, especially if I can get it signed. But that is kind of my tipping point. Do I have a chance of meeting this person? Yes or no. Do I really want to keep this figure mint on the card so that they can sign it? Yes or no. That's my determination for keeping a figure mint on card or opening. I could see both sides of it. I have mint on card and I have loose. I don't really have a preference one way or the other, but if gun to my head, I had to pick, I think I might go with loose. You're able to get the figure out of the package and really admire it and see all of the work that Mattel or Figures Toy Company put into it. It's one of the reasons I really like Figures Toy Company's packaging because you can snip that little zip tie on the top, pop open the bubble, take the figure out, admire it, display it if you want. And if you have to have it back on the card, say you're going to a signing, and we've talked about this, you put it right back in the bubble, close it shut, they sell the zip ties if you really want to zip tie it back together, and boom, your figure's mint on card again. I love that idea and that design. But if I had to make a choice, dude, I'm probably going loose. It's just something about holding that figure in your hands, and it takes me back to the LJN and Hasbro days and early Jack's Bone Cruncher days.
So I see both sides of being a loose collector and being a mint on card collector. I prefer going mint. I like displaying them in package up on the walls. I think it looks great. Having them loose, yeah, it's cool, but I don't know. Like maybe I keep thinking in my head, like maybe one day I'll sell some stuff. And then if it's in box, I notice that in box will get a lot more money. But I mean, that's if I ever decide to sell stuff. You know, it's one of those things that just goes through my head and I just think it's just easier to keep it in package, you know?
So your driving force is one day I might sell this for some profit?
One day.
Okay.
But considering I've never sold any figures, it's not looking good for the future.
Well, sure. You're also going to run out of wall space too, because you and I both, when we were kids, dude, there was no way any of our wrestling figures were staying on card.
Right.
No way. Even the early Jacks too. We opened up every single one of them. I would say up until, man, probably Classic Superstars. You and I were both opening figures. And there's just something that takes you back, takes me back when I open up a figure, takes me back to those good old days where you'd open up a figure and you get to hold it in your hand and, you know, you're not playing with it or anything, but like you're getting to hold the figure, you get to look, you know, turn it around and look at all the cool stuff they did on the trunks or the tights or, you know, something cool they did with the hair or a tattoo or something. It gives it a different perspective out of the package. So I have probably right now more mint on card up on my walls than I do loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not including LJNs or Hasbros or old Jacks. There's just something about the loose figure that I really, really like. Dude, when I opened up that whole batch of them a couple weeks ago, it was awesome. Just getting able to hold the Macho Man defining moments and turn them around and see the robe and take the robe off and look at the trunks and, you know, take the sunglasses on and off and the headband. It's just all these cool little accessories that come with it. There's a lot of value there to me. But like I said, with the figures, it's, can I get it signed? Do I have to have two of these? Do I really, really want to open it? It's just, you know, and it's per figure too. So every case is different for me, but I kind of lean more toward loose.
My thing is that I don't play with the figures anymore.
Right.
So I don't really need to display them. And I'm saying this as I'm looking over at one of my shelves where it's just nothing but loose figures, but that's just one of those things where it's, I had to have doubles of it, and I wanted to display it out of package for some reason, but 9 times out of 10, I'm posting them up on the wall.
Right, and it's getting to the point with you too where you can even have a triplicate, i.e. the Defining Moments Macho Man.
Yes.
You had triples of that figure.
Yes,
and you still couldn't open it.
I know.
The editor had to do it.
Exactly. It's like the Hasbros. I wish we would have kept them on card because, yeah, they looked good displayed up on my dresser at the benefactor's house. But, like, right now, it's just like, I didn't play with them. After 1991, 92, I didn't play with them. So they would just look better in package, in my opinion.
Oh, there's no way, dude. No way I would have kept the Hasbro's mint on card. No way. I don't care how much those things are worth. Nothing replaces the value of shredding open a Hasbro package and being able to do the figure action and kind of turn the head and, oh, look at all the cool detail they caught on this figure. I don't know, man. There's no way. Even if you would suggest it, I'd have been like, no, dude, you're smoking rock. We are opening all of these.
I don't know, dude. I think back to it and it was like, they just went up on a dresser. They looked good up on the dresser, but I don't know. Maybe they would have looked better hung up on the wall.
Well, one of these days, they'll look really good in a display case, all loose. Dude, think about how good they looked when we had them all over your dining room the other day when the Hasbro show.
That was awesome, dude.
Oh, it was. I hate to use an overused word, but it was epic. That was all of our Hasbros, dude, from Series 1 all the way to the green card, including the mail-aways.
Yep.
That was great, dude. So, and just having them all out loose like that, you got to just admire them again. So, I don't know. I think I lean loose, honestly.
All right. Well,
and you lean mint on card, and that's okay.
I do.
We're like the odd couple.
One day I will get that WCW Galoob Freebird box set signed. That would look cool.
Yes, that is definitely going to have to go to Access next year.
Fingers crossed they will be signing autographs because Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes didn't have that long of a line last year.
Could you imagine if it was 1 year earlier you had that set? And you had actually been able to get that signed with paint pen, how cool that would be. I bet you the two of them would have sat there and talked to you about it.
I would have pulled out the microphone and been like, here, hold on. Just go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, so here, let's put you on the spot. What if Jimmy Jam and Michael Hayes looked at you and said, could we open this?
I'd tell them no. I'd say, do you guys have a backup that you can just hand me?
What if Michael Hayes threatened you with a DDT?
I would counter it. I don't know how, but I would counter it.
Well, typically the counter is a backdrop.
Or I'll do an old school atomic drop.
Okay, so you would have been comfortable backflipping a 60 or 70 year old man.
Wouldn't it be the first time.
You're all over figure opening? Absolutely.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. I've tossed plenty of old men in my day. Wait, what?
Oh, no. Let's get into my toy. I actually did toy spotting with special guest Sean this past weekend. Him and I were hitting up Toys R Us, Walmart's, Target's. Unfortunately, no new NXT figures at Target because the Targets around here just flat out suck.
Pretty much.
We did go to Toys R Us. Does your youngest listen to the show?
No, she does not.
Okay.
Well, unless she's in the car with us and Shannon has it on her phone, but 9 times out of 10, no.
Should I say what I
got? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. So I can basically just fast forward this part if she happens to be listening to the show. Yeah. Note to Scott, this is the point where you fast forward. Okay, proceed.
I got her the WWE Women's Heavyweight title.
She is literally going to defecate in her Christmas pants.
Okay, then I'm not giving that to her. That's just flat out disgusting.
No, it's okay. It'll be at your house maybe. So have fun cleaning that couch.
The dogs and Peyton, whatever.
Christmas deuce. It'll be Mr. Hankey.
So anyways, yeah, I got her that for Christmas. So
nice. Oh, dude, she's going to freaking love that.
I had a feeling she would. That was the first thing I thought of when they said that they were putting those out. I was like, yep, that's being got for Peyton for Christmas.
Yeah, she's going to love that, dude. Guaranteed. You're going to have to watch her open the box, though.
Oh, yeah, we put up on Snapchat.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. She is going to get it. And I don't know if she's going to do the Bailey pose or the Sasha Banks one first. We'll see.
We'll see if it even fits her.
Oh, we'll make it fit.
Nothing to report at Walmart. That was the Walmart where special guest Sean found the retros, and they didn't even have them there. They were all wiped out.
You know, it's almost comical at this point when I go into Walmart. They have the still, I think, every series one except for KO. Maybe they don't have Roman Reigns either. Maybe they're missing those two. They have all the other series ones. It's getting comical to the point where I walk in, I don't see series two, and I kind of laugh because if you look at the full cases of Retro Series 2, it says fall 2017. We're now getting into winter 2017, and our Walmart still has not sniffed one of the series two figures. It's disgusting.
Thank you, Becky Lynch.
You're welcome.
So anyways, that was my toy spotting this past week.
Oh, you had as much success as I did.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Toys R Us had nothing. They had the TJ Perkins. I was able to get the belt for Peyton. Nice. Went over to Target, nothing there. Went over to Walmart, nothing there.
Man, and I'm on the hunt, hot and heavy for those NXT guys. Really, if I had to choose, if I could only have two, I'd probably want Authors of Pain out of the basics. And then I definitely have to get those elites, the Dash and Dawson. I have to. I need those NXT tag team titles, and I'm not buying American Alpha for them.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Nope. I will not.
Scott, we've got a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, this past week, they did show renderings of basic Roderick Strong and Billy Kay. Both are going to be coming with NXT chairs. They're cool. They're basic.
Yeah. Where's Peyton Royce? Please, Mattel?
Good question.
Come on, Mattel.
So they just showed off the two. Maybe there will be more coming along to complete the basic series.
Ugh. There needs to be a two-pack of Billy Kay and Peyton Royce stat.
SOS on this one.
Yes, absolutely. And DIY if you decide to throw them in any assortment.
All hands on deck.
Get on it, Mattel.
Roddy's that basic looking guy. We kind of talked about this. We kind of talked about this with the Kyle O'Reilly figure from FTC.
Yes.
He's a basic looking guy. I hate to say it, but he is.
Yeah, we kind of sound like Eric Bischoff now, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, you got black trunks, black boots. What are we going to do with you?
Yeah, I can't market that.
Yeah, I hate to sound like that, but I mean, they did a good job. It looks like Roderick Strong.
Yeah, that's true. Billy Kay, her figure's cool. She'll have the bluish purple outfit on.
Yes.
Looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to credit Matthew Goldberg regarding this. There was a little chat with, I think it was Bill, with Bill from Mattel.
Correct. Yep.
This was little notes from the chat with Bill. There will be an HBK figure from his Texas Royal Rumble outfit 1996.
Yes, very, very excited. 97, right?
I am sorry, 1997.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that figure, dude. That's going to be awesome, especially if it's an elite form. Very, very happy about that.
WWE's had figures of him in those that outfit before.
Yeah, and they were always awesome.
There are no immediate plans for a 2000 era Triple H, which, okay.
That's kind of disappointing, but okay, whatever.
New Elite Style Miz is coming out with his gear from WrestleMania this past year. I hope they didn't have that face that they put on that basic with him and Maurice.
Yeah, we'll see. I have a feeling they're going to roll that one out to elites as well.
If Tyler Bate sells well, Pete Dunne will be up next.
I read a funny tweet the other day that some guy said he'd buy 5 Tyler Bates if it meant that we'd get a Pete Dunne figure. I don't know why they wouldn't do Pete Dunne anyway. Like, the dude just debuted on Raw. Spoiler if you haven't seen it yet. I guess he's going to be featured a little more on 205. Like, he's going to be flown into San Antonio next week or something like that for the SmackDown. He's going to be on 205 Live again. So it looks like Pete Dunne is starting to get that push, so he might get a figure regardless of how Tyler Bate sells.
There will be an updated Jinder Mahal. He'll be with Carpet and have an updated look where his muscles are just popping out of the package.
Yes, veins as well. Will be probably be packaged with the WWE Championship as well.
And the next Elite Undertaker will almost certainly be the first badass version with Jinder ponytail and trench coat.
Yep, that'll be awesome. That'll be a good-looking figure.
That was it for the news. We want to thank you, Matthew Goldberg, for tweeting those out. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Matthew.
Scott, no FTC news, so guess what we get to do?
Talk about Funko Pops?
There is no Funko Pops, so what do we do after that?
Cut to a really long break and then get to listener questions?
There's actually 2 segments before the listener segment, but the script is right in front of you. How are you botching this?
I know. I'm ignoring it. I'm letting the show go off the rails a little bit and hoping that you steer the ship back in the right direction.
We are going to discuss Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 1. I've been looking forward to this, actually.
Yeah, this was a really great set that Jax put out. But before we get into any more of that, let's cut to the music.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Got Jax Unmatched Fury Series 1. Why don't you hit it up?
Yes, so Jax put out a series of statues. These are not to be confused with the statues out of some legends in the late 90s, which consisted of Andre the Giant, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Captain Lou. This is not to be confused with those, but you can draw some similarities between those 2 sets of statues. That particular set of statues, I think, maybe ran 2 or 3 series. This one here went quite a few more than that. So just starting out here, this is Jax Unmatched Fury Series 1. You had Batista. You had John Cena. You had Hulk Hogan. And you had Rey Mysterio. John Cena was in the midst of doing his 5-knuckle shuffle fist drop. Batista was in a bushwhacker-like pose, but I'm going to assume they were going for a clothesline and not the bushwhacker pose. Rey Mysterio was packaged as doing the 619, complete with ropes on either side of him to make it look like he was really swinging through. And Hulk Hogan was a la his WrestleMania 7 gear. He had the heavyweight title on, the red bandana, so this would have been like a 91, 92 Hogan look. And he was ripping his shirt off in that pose. And these were statues. They came complete with a base that was usually the ring. And in Mysterio's case, it was the ring apron with the ropes attached. Just really cool looking figures, just something different. These were more of, I would say, like a collectible as opposed to just being an action figure. I've seen them opened up and displayed. They look fantastic. They look great if they're left in the box. They're a little bit larger than the run-of-the-mill Jax figures. I would say about 2 inches taller, maybe 3. The packaging that they were in a black box with a window front on it. It gave you perceived value. They were a little bit more than your standard Jax figure in terms of price. But the height differential, the packaging, the fact that it was a statue making it look like more of a collectible gave it more perceived value than a basic action figure. I would put it on par probably with like the classic superstars. Not in terms of height or anything, but in terms of like packaging and perceived value. This was right up there with those, but these definitely stood apart from the classic superstars. These were more of a collectible statue and not an action figure at all. Overall, I really liked Series 1. Obviously, my favorite out of the set is Hulk Hogan, and that's far and away my favorite. Least favorite is probably Batista. I know the pose they were going for, it kind of missed a little bit with me. But the Rey looks really cool. The Cena is spot on. Great starting off point for them with Unmatched Fury Series 1.
What I liked about these is the detailing.
Yes.
The detailing was second to none on this. I love these. Third favorite series that Jack's ever put out. Behind the Deluxe Classic and the Classic Superstars.
Yes, I would agree with you on that.
I love these. These were fantastic. I love the Hogan. He's ripping the shirt. It's got the winged eagle. It just screamed Hogan.
And Jeff, these came out in about 06, 07, if I'm not mistaken?
You are correct. I want to say it was 06.
Yeah. Yeah, and it ran for quite a few series, so obviously this will be our nostalgia segment moving forward would be the Unmatched Furies. But you're right, Jeff, and I failed to mention that in my initial synopsis of the line. The attention to detail and the detailing of the figure themselves, just top-notch, like you said. 100% agree with you. These really stood apart from the rest of the Jax line and really gave it a perceived value because I think these things were like 17 or 18 bucks, somewhere in there. But you got what you were paying for. 100% got what you were paying for. Just a killer line, and they look really good opened as well. I know you have that Ultimate Warrior one opened up, and it looks awesome. And here we, coming off of a whole segment where we discussed Mint on Carter opened, but you did open that Ultimate Warrior, and it looks really, really good.
Yeah, what I liked about the Warrior and what they did with Rey, like with Rey, he's doing the 619. The ropes are actually bent.
Yes.
Like, the ropes are supporting him doing the 619. And I thought that is a great touch. It's like with the Warrior, the ropes are up.
Yes.
Like he's shaking the ropes. He was in that shaking the ropes Warrior pose.
Yeah, it's like literally Ultimate Warrior just ran down and started shaking the ropes, and they just happened to capture that moment in time with the ropes flailing and Warrior, you know, with the scream on his face. Just the attention to detail, like you're mentioning the ropes, just top notch in this whole series.
The Batista, I wasn't a fan of. I agree with you 100%. Now, I'm trying to figure out what they were going for. Were they going for a clothesline pose?
I think it was a clothesline.
Or was it during his entrance where he kind of pats his chest and then that last boom goes off on the pyro and then he has his hand up?
Yeah, maybe that was it. All I can say is it's a good thing they didn't put him in the machine gun pose because it would have just looked like Batista was taking a dump on the stage.
That part is true.
Yeah, that would have been an awkward pose to pull off in a statue.
And the only thing that saves Cena, because Cena had a plain look. It looked like Cena, but the thing that saves Cena was the pose they put him in, where he was,
yes,
as you said, in the midst of the five-knuckle shovel.
Yes.
If they would have had him, I don't know, like in the pose of taking off the hat and throwing it into the crowd, or I don't know, something else other than that pose, it wouldn't have worked, and it could have been worse than the Batista.
Yeah, or something as simple as like him doing the salute, you know, or whatever it was that he used to do back then. It wouldn't have been the same as capturing him mid-move. I think you're absolutely right that that was the right call with him. But the Hogan, it, so, so good. Again, this was from like 91, 92 Hogan. I seem to remember this one being from like the Sergeant Slaughter feud from like WrestleMania 7.
Uh-huh.
He comes with the Winged Eagle title. He's got the red bandana on. He's got the Hogan shirt that had kind of the American flag on it. It's still the yellow tank, but it's got the American flag on it. I want to say that was 91, 92. Just a killer looking Hogan, and he's like mid-rip on the shirt. So again, a great choice on a pose for Hogan. I mean, you couldn't have picked a better one aside from like the flex, but I think capturing the ripped shirt was just awesome. And I think they were going for that on the zombie figure as well.
Yeah, let's ignore that.
Yeah, way better on this Unmatched Fury.
So yeah, this is one of my favorite lines. I love these figures. I tried to buy as many as I could. As I've mentioned before, this was a rough time. I couldn't get them all like I wanted to.
Yeah, that price point was not very forgiving.
Right. So I did look on eBay before we jumped on to record. Past sales of Hogan Mint on Card has gone for anywhere from 40 to 50 bucks.
Yeah, I've seen him as high as 70, 75. And same with Ultimate Warrior. Warriors push 70 to 80. Honky Tonk Man is another one. He goes for about 30 to 50 as well.
Oh, okay. Warrior, I just saw, I think it was either a buy it now, right now, or was past auction, but it went for $115.
Jeez Louise, that is a lot of money, dude.
I know.
But worth every penny. If you can add that one to your collection, I would say loose or in the box. It's such a great add to the collection. It looks amazing. It really does. Just the attention to detail, like you said, Jeff, you hit it right on the head. This whole series, just the attention to detail is so good.
And the poses that they had him in.
Yeah, they made some really good choices.
I was just about to say that. That's a great way to say it. But they had so much attention to detail on these and loved everything about these.
Yeah, came out really well. Big fan of the series.
Scott, we do have a secret question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
No, we've got to play your music first.
Oh, okay.
You got to walk down in your robe. Hopefully you have something on underneath it.
You never know. Have I been drinking Jaeger? I don't know. We'll see.
Let's get into your secret question.
Hit my music.
Scott, your secret question, it was going to be about the Ric Flair 30 for 30. You have not seen it yet, though.
Not yet. I'm going to watch it tonight or tomorrow night.
Guess what your secret question is next week?
What I had for breakfast?
Nope. And it's not about the 30 for 30 about Ric Flair.
Spoiler.
You had one chance.
Yeah. Now you'll never get to talk about it again.
You had one job, dude. Since you have not watched the Ric Flair 30 for 30, Scott, we're going to just go into expressing feelings right now.
Oh.
Yep. We're calling audible.
All right. See, this is why you're host extraordinaire. Plan A falls through, you immediately have a plan B.
So, Scott, what would you like to express feelings on in your secret question?
Express feelings. AJ is your new WWE champion. That makes me very, very happy. Nothing against Jinder. I've already made my feelings clear on him, but it needed to change. Now I think Jinder's going to be better suited and he can kind of flesh out his character a little bit more being on the hunt. Because for me, his character kind of came out of nowhere. Like, he went from jobber or enhancement guy to heavyweight title contender to champion in, like, not even 2 months. That was almost, like, too fast to kind of process for me. Like, maybe he didn't earn it yet. But now I want to see what Jinder can do on the hunt with AJ. I think I'll enjoy him more as a chase guy and giving AJ some great matches. And I can absolutely see Jinder wearing that strap again. I don't think that this is the end of Jinder's push as a guy on top of the card, but I want to see them flesh out his character a little bit more. Let him breathe a little bit. Let him maybe get some more guys to put him over, put him in some more substantial feuds. And I think that he'll really position himself as a top of the card guy. But the fact that they changed it up, I'm a huge fan of. I love that AJ is champion again. Of course, we don't have him in our fantasy league. That's okay. It's needed to change, and I'm glad that they finally did it. I'm glad it went to AJ. Would I have loved it to be on Kevin Owens? Of course. Even Sami Zayn, but I'll definitely take AJ any day of the week.
So I wasn't sold on Jinder when they gave him the belt.
Right.
But I was like, okay, it's new blood in there. It's a new champion. Let's see what he can do with it. And he, to me, was so underwhelming. Whether it was his matches, which to me are boring.
Yeah.
Whether it was his promos are okay. The whole Shinsuke thing, that was bad, actually. Never mind. The promos were boring. I don't know, dude. It just was so underwhelming. They tried, in my eyes, it was a failure, and they needed to get the belt off of him because them going into Survivor Series and your big match is Brock Lesnar against Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
How does that sound on people's ears? Like, okay, here's Brock Lesnar. Okay, here's the Beast. And Jinder Mahal, the guy who jobbed out for so many years and then just had a less than stellar title run.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you on that. They pushed him up too quick. Uh-huh. Like, yes, people have been clamoring for change and new stuff, but you've got to build a guy up first. You know, this was my same complaint with Kane beating Finn Balor a few weeks ago. You know, Kane comes back for one match, and in his second match, he's beating Finn Balor, who just, by the way, beat the new WWE champion the previous night at your pay-per-view. and now Kane's beating Finn? Like, why? Like, have him beat some other guys first, build him up a little bit more, because he did just come back. And yes, of course he has a legacy, but he did just come back. Have him, you know, beat a couple of other guys and build himself up the card a little bit. And then you have, I don't care that Finn lost. I mean, that's not why I'm upset. You have Finn lose to a guy that's at least up towards the top of the card. When Kane left, he wasn't anything special. He was towards the bottom of the card. Now he comes back for one match. Second match, he beats Finn. That just doesn't make sense to me. Same thing with Jinder. He's enhancement talent. Then all of a sudden, he wins that mad scramble match. And then he's beating Randy Orton for the title. That's way too quick. You need to build guys up before you put them in that position. They did the same thing with Sheamus. If you remember, when they first brought him up, he was immediately beating Cena for the title.
Good point.
In that horrible tables match. And I'm like, what? That immediately soured me on Sheamus. Now, of course, I've come around. But if anything, what WWE accomplished with this is that they did put another guy at the top of the card. They're dropping him down a few pegs. And maybe that they can put, or maybe they could put him in a new feud with somebody that's not AJ. Have AJ run with the belt for a while. Put Jinder in some other feuds. Build him up as a legitimate contender again. Stick with the same character. Flesh him out a little more. And then you've got a guy that can immediately jump right back up to the top of the card. There's no reason that he can't, but I want to see him build himself up a little bit more.
I honestly think they're keeping the belt on AJ until WrestleMania, where he's going to face Nakamura.
That's pie in the sky for me. That's my ideal situation. I would love that. That's a match that I think a lot of people want to see. To be honest, I didn't really see Jinder holding the belt until WrestleMania anyway. I figured he would at least be champion until like Royal Rumble and then drop the strap at the Rumble.
Uh-huh.
But I think that WWE has given Jinder a good platform to build his character on, and he'll move back into the... he'll get his series of rematches. I think AJ's going to keep it. I could be wrong. I'm not a booker. I think AJ's going to keep the strap, and Jinder will go into some other feuds with the Singh brothers or not. I don't know. He'll go into some other feuds, give his character a little more build, and then they can bring him right back into the title picture if need be. He didn't do it for me as champion, but I can see, given more time with him positioned near the top of the card, he's somebody that's going to grow on me and will then be a believable contender once other guys are falling to him. You know what I mean? Like, put him in a better position. Have him beat some guys, give him a name, then put him back at the top of the card. Then I'm okay with it. That's fine. I have no issue with that. Same with Kane. You know, I just think that he should have gotten more wins under his belt before, you know, he's beating Finn in his second match back. It just doesn't make sense to me. This isn't whose line it is it anyway, where the points don't matter. You know, of course points matter. You know, it's wins and losses absolutely matter. So, yeah, that's kind of my rant. Women's wrestling. Is Natalya going to keep the strap, or is Charlotte going to beat her?
Women's wrestling, that's a good question. I don't know if Charlotte's going to beat Natty. I mean, Charlotte against Alexa, that to me sounds better than Alexa versus Natty.
I agree with you. I had that conversation the other night with somebody that I really hope Charlotte wins. And he was like, no, dude, Natalya, you know, she's been with WWE so long and Tyson Kidd isn't working. It's good to see her getting this push. And I was like, I totally agree with you. But let's look at that match on paper. What's more exciting to you on paper, Charlotte versus Alexa, or Natalya versus Alexa? In my book, it's all Charlotte versus Alexa. And let's hear it for the bar. How awesome is that, that they won the tag titles back?
That's not good. Seth Rollins, we have him in our fantasy league.
Yes, we do. But at the same time, him and Dean, I think, are positioned well to have another series of rematches with the bar. They get the rematch. But I think that it's all leading up to a New Day versus Shield match at Survivor Series, which I'm extremely excited about.
Dude, no.
What?
I was actually looking forward to Dean and Seth versus the Usos. I was actually really looking forward to that match. And then they changed it to the bar, and I'm like, well, I just became less interested in that match.
Oh, dude, no, I got more interested. I think that the bar is going to have a better match with the Usos. And I think the Shield versus New Day is going to be awesome.
Mark.
Hey, I'm okay with that. I will accept that all day. So we have, I guess we're going to talk about Survivor Series. We have the Cruiserweight matchup, Enzo versus Kalisto.
Yes.
I see Enzo going over in that.
Hopefully.
Well, hopefully, because we have him on our fantasy roster.
Right. He was our last pick.
Yes, he was. Cena has been added to Team SmackDown, so both of those teams are complete now that are being captained by Shane and Kurt. Cena earned his spot because Cena?
Yeah, because why? Because Cena.
I also said he earned his spot. That was a little bit of sarcasm there for you. And what else? We have the women's matches that are taking place, or I should say the Survivor Series type match with the women. Sasha got added to Team Raw. Alicia Fox is horrible. Just awful. The worst. No more of her, please. No more of her. I enjoy over the top, but when it is that fake and forced, it's grating to me.
Oh,
yuck.
Oh, yeah, it's bad, dude. Horrible acting.
Yuck, but I will say I enjoy her wearing a captain's hat. That is pretty hilarious. So let's finish up on Survivor Series and move to the really big news from this past weekend.
Which is?
The really big news, dude. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega.
Okay, I am so stoked for this, dude. You have no idea. Like, Kenny and Jericho were going back and forth on Twitter, and I'm like, what is this leading to? And then all of a sudden, Jericho sent out a tweet, I want to say a couple nights before, that said, hey, why don't we settle this on, and he put a boat on, like, a cruise ship. And I'm like, oh, that cruise ship thing. That's what he was going for. Okay.
That's what we all thought.
Yep. And then when it was announced, and how great was it the way they did it?
It was as good as everything they've done before it, be it the Kenny Omega entrance when he was Terminator, be it the announcement that Cody Rhodes was coming to this. New Japan is really building up their stock now. And with Jericho, who was a major WWE player, stepping over into their yard, that's putting WWE eyes on NJPW's product. So kudos to them. This is a huge get. Poor Impact. I mean, let's shed some tears for that. I mean, dude.
It's bad. I don't even know.
They're getting, like, they get Sami Callihan, and NJPW gets Chris Jericho. Like, come on. Like, it's not even close anymore. They are just so far behind. But kudos to NJPW for really building up their stock, putting more eyes on their product. Great call, man. There are WWE fans out there that are now discussing NJPW. Mission accomplished.
And on top of that, they're coming back here in March for Long Beach, and they're going to be going into, I know people are like, oh, it's only a 5,000 seater. Well, yeah, but those tickets are going to sell out super quick.
Yeah, you thought PWG went fast.
I know. This 5,000 seater is going to be like PWG.
Right. Right. And do they go a best of three?
What do you mean?
Jericho and Omega.
Yeah, they could.
They absolutely could. You have a best of three. You have one win at Wrestle Kingdom. You have one win at Long Beach. And you have the third match on Jericho's boat.
That could be. Jericho's boat.
Jericho's boat, sponsored by Prestige Worldwide.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for that New Japan. That was funny, too, because I turned to the editor. And I know I'm going to catch heat from one of my buddies. But there is rumblings that WrestleMania 35 is going to be in Detroit. I'm sorry, Fred, I'm telling you now, I just have no interest in going to Detroit, dude. So I told the editor, instead of going to WrestleMania 35, why don't we fly over to Japan in 2019 and go to Wrestle Kingdom? And then they announce Omega and Jericho for Wrestle Kingdom 2018. I'm like, crap, we picked the wrong year.
No, you didn't, because NOLA.
Dude, Jericho Omega?
NOLA.
Jericho Omega.
NOLA is the most fun any of us have ever had at a WrestleMania, dude. I know. I don't care if it is Jericho and Omega. I'll watch that on television. I am not missing NOLA for any match overseas, dude. I don't care who's in it. You can't name me two names or four names or six names that would get me to miss NOLA. Absolutely not. No way. I mean, I get where you're coming from, dude. It's going to be a fantastic match, and I hope that it ends up being like a best of three or a series of matches. Give us a best of seven, a la Nikita and Magnum TA.
What if they bring it over to Long Beach?
That's how you sell the tickets.
Dude, they already sold the tickets. They just basically said, hey, we're coming back to Long Beach. Boom, tickets are sold.
They were going to sell out anyway. You're right, but you're putting a marquee matchup at the top of the card. All I can say is good for NJPW. This was absolutely the right move. I put out on Twitter, I have questions.
Which is?
Did Jericho tell Vince?
He had to have. There's like a respect thing. He had to have said something to him.
And see, that's what I thought. But from a businessman standpoint, he's a free agent. He doesn't have to say anything to anybody. If WWE wanted him.
It's a respect thing.
I completely agree 100%, and I think so too. I agree with you. I tend to agree with you that Jericho did go to Vince and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm just giving you the courtesy of letting you know. I think that's what happened also, but I don't know.
Okay. What's your other questions?
Does this mean that Jericho can't appear at WrestleMania?
He's a free agent. He can do whatever he wants. This could be like a one match, two match thing.
Yeah, but is WWE going to be pissed that he did this and then not bring him back for a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam, you know, one of the big four pay-per-views?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have we seen the last Jericho surprise in WWE? Are they pissed? These are the things I want to know. How does WWE feel about this?
They're not happy, but...
That's kind of like dad, you know?
What?
Yeah, well, they're like dad. Like, Vince is like dad.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't want to disappoint dad, is what I mean. Like, you don't want to burn that bridge. That is, like, your future income.
Touche. That's a good point.
So I don't know if the bridge is burned. Is WWE upset with him? Did he tell them anything? These are the things I'm wondering, and I hope that all these questions get answered, you know, soon, because it's really like it intrigues me. Like, this is such a huge surprise.
Oh, it was a big surprise for everyone, dude. Nobody expected that.
No, not at all. And the fact that Jericho was able to pull this off, that guy's a magician. He should get a Vegas show.
All right, we got to stop marking out for storylines.
All right, we'll stop.
All right, Scott, we got to finish this out with the listener segment. So what do you say?
Let's do it.
Scott, we have two audio questions this week, and it was actually kind of funny. I received a message from Bane, and he said, hey, just sent you an audio question. Boom. I was like, oh, dude, sweet. Can't wait to hear it. And literally, like, maybe 3 minutes later, Breaker messaged me, and he goes, hey, I've got an idea for an audio question. I'm going to send it over to you. Dude, those two think alike so much, dude.
They're like the same wavelength. That's awesome.
Again, thank you to Breaker for sending or for sitting down with us on that Hasbro show. The Hasbro show is getting a lot of love, dude.
Good. That makes me happy that it did, because I think our love for Hasbro's really came across. All four of us, our love for Hasbro's really came across in that episode. And I'm glad that people are enjoying it.
Yes, it's nostalgia, it's fun, it's awesome. So Scott, we are going to kick it off with Bane, because he sent his in first.
Bane's World.
Yes, go download Mark Music. I love that song. All right, Scott, you ready?
I'm ready.
Jeff and Scott, Bigger Than a Score Bane from Breaker and Bane's Power Hour here, and I have a quick cue. And my cue is actually a two-part cue, and I'm going to get into it right now. The first part is we have Takeover coming up very shortly, and with Takeover we have the rebirth of War Games. Now, I would like to think that WWE would bring out the War Games playset once again, or I don't know if they've actually done it before, but I think it would be awesome to bring out the War Games playset. Now, part one of that question is, do you guys think this will happen? Do you think it's a good possibility that will happen? Or do you think that that's way too much money that they're going to, you know, be like, ah, no way, Jose. And part two of my question is, what other kind of playsets would you guys like to see? Or even just gimmicks with the ring that can be used during playtime matches? I think one thing that would actually be really cool that I don't think has been done yet, I could be way off base with this, but if you notice with all the rings right now, they have the plastic on the sides. I think it would be sweet if they just nixed that and made all the rings be, have the rings come with ring skirts and have it be hollow underneath the ring skirts. So it's actually more set up like an actual ring, and that way the kids playing it can take those toy tables and the toy ladders and the toy chairs and stuff like that and actually shove them under the ring like an actual wrestling match. I don't know if that would ever necessarily happen. I don't really know the reasoning behind them doing the plastic. I don't know if it's more for stability, which it probably honestly would be. But also, too, I mean, I think it would be cool to see, like, maybe, you know, like the dog collar matches that they used to do where both guys would be strapped with dog collars and have a chain connected to them, or the strap matches. I think something like that would be cool. So what other kind of things that, you know, would you guys like to see that maybe they haven't come out with yet for the play sets? I mean, there's endless possibilities, you know, from the dog collar match that I mentioned just a minute ago to, like, you know, Judy Bagwell on a forklift, all kinds of stuff that we could do. What would you like to see? That's it. You guys are awesome. Good brothers for life. Hope to talk to you guys soon.
Scott, what do you have for Big Underscore Bane?
First off, Bane, thank you for the question. That was awesome. Regarding a War Games playset, I would love it, but I think that it is just cost prohibitive for Mattel to put something like that out. Ring Skirts, our good friend Nate, he actually custom built a War Game set that is absolutely amazing. If you have a chance, go check out at Ring Skirts on Twitter. Look for his War Games picture. He custom made that entire set. It's so good. I would love it if Mattel could put something like that together, but you're having to do two rings, two cages. Actually, technically, it's one cage, just a humongous one. They could maybe do a giant cage accessory as a standalone, and if you have two real scale rings, you can put them side by side and put the cage over the top of it. The trick is then getting areas for the kids to put their hands through on top of the cage so they can actually wrestle with the guys. I don't know how that would work out, but they were able to do an Elimination Chamber match, so maybe they could figure that out. I don't know, but I would love to see it. I would love to see Mattel tackle something like that, even as like a prototype, just to see what they could do with it. I would be a huge fan of that. Regarding the second part, I think it would be cool if they could do like the on a pole gimmick, and it was something that could attach to the real scale ring. You know, they've done kendo sticks, they've done guitars, they've done contracts, lots of different things that you could suspend from a pole. An accessory like that that you could stick onto your ring, maybe sell it for like 15, 20 bucks, something like that. I think it'd be neat. I would love to see a dog collar accessory, but the one thing that I've always wanted to come as an accessory to the ring that it never did, the WrestleMania 3 ring carts.
Oh, good call.
That is the one thing I think that all manufacturers have missed out on, and I don't know why, but I think if you released any of those in any of the past lines or present, that's a home run. There isn't a fan out there that wouldn't want to buy that. Say it's 20 bucks. There isn't a fan out there that I know of that wouldn't drop 20 bucks on something like that.
Right.
Just for display purposes alone would be a huge home run.
I think the War Games playset is actually, my guess, it's in the works right now.
You think so?
I think they're going to figure out a way to make it. I think Mattel can kind of come up with something.
My fingers are crossed, but the only way I see that working is if they make a big enclosure to fit around two rings. I can't see them putting out a playset unless they do the smaller, cheaper rings like with the NXT that came with Finn at Target, then maybe. But if you're going to go authentic scale, I can't see them doing two authentic rings and a cage. You're talking the $150 playset right there, dude. One ring with Goldberg is $110. Can you imagine the price tag that thing would carry?
I think you're right. You know what? A basic ring might have to work on that.
Either that, or if you are going to make it authentic scale, you're doing one gigantic ring or big cage enclosure that would fit over two authentic rings that you have to already have, you know, sold separately. One big cage enclosure with some sort of contraption on top that pops open so the kids can reach their hands in and actually have a match.
So his second part, what other kind of gimmicky things could they do? They could do the cage with the electrocution where Abdullah the Butcher was in.
I'm going to have you thrown right out of here.
They could do a spin the wheel, make a deal thing.
Will you stop?
Oh, don't forget the wrestling on the back of a flatbed truck.
Security.
What?
Dude.
What?
Sometimes, what's in your Powerade? Sometimes I worry about you.
Oh, I agree with you about the cart. I think that a lot of people have missed out on that one. They could do just have like a pole sticking out from the ring and just have a bunch of accessories that comes with it.
Yeah.
Whether it be shears, whether it be kendo sticks, contracts. You could do a bunch of different stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, bull ropes, dog collars, all that. I dig it. I do love Bane's idea of having like basically four posts and an actual ring apron attached around there so that you could flip it up and throw tables and ladders and stuff under there like a real ring, or hide like the Young Bucks under there. Like, that would just be awesome.
By the way, have you seen that they just debuted a new move called Cease and Desist?
Yes, I did see that.
Excellent.
They're so snarky.
Just poking the bear.
Exactly. Don't make Dad angry.
I think all those are great ideas that they could probably market pretty well.
I do hope a War Games accessory or playset is on the way. That would be awesome. I mean, they're pushing the hell out of that shark cage. So, come on. Yep. Give us a War Games.
So, thank you, Big Underscore Bane, for sending that in. So, Scott Bane is tagging in Brian Breaker right now.
Yes.
Let's hear what Breaker's got to say.
Hey, Jeff and Scott, your old pal Brian Breaker, and I know you guys love audio questions, so a big part of my day is I always think of, like, what is an audio question I can throw over to Jeff and Scott to give them some discussion for their show? So, I haven't heard yet, but this will come up, I know. The new WWE Monsters figures. Obviously, it's like Asuka as the Phantom of the Opera, Chris Jericho as the Mummy. It's classic monsters, you know, from the monster movie era with WWE figures, you know, dressed like them. Obviously, this follows, you know, WWE Zombies, which has had a couple of waves, WWE Mutants, and then now this. So clearly WWE and Mattel, one of the two, is dead set on having a secondary line kind of like this. These remind me a lot of Stomp and also like the WCW Ringmasters, I think is what they were called. They had Goldberg as a construction worker. Bret Hart was an actual hitman. Chris Jericho was an actual lion tamer. Very random, very weird. But, so here's my question with that. Let's say you guys are in charge. You guys are creative consultants at Mattel. And let's be honest, if they listen to Fully Posable, and I think that they do, then they'd be smart to give you guys that job. But let's say you're consultants over at Mattel, and your first piece of business is you get rid of this line, the monsters, the zombies, the mutants. Done. Out of there. No more. Now, here's what you have to come up with. A new secondary line that has nothing to do with elites or basics or battle packs or retro Mattel. Those are all out. But you have to come up with a secondary line of WWE figures. Something that that you feel would sell and appeal to either an adult market or a kid market. Good luck. It's not an easy question. So have fun, and I can't wait to hear the answer.
That is an excellent question. My mind immediately jumped to our nostalgia line.
Dude, mine did too.
I think something like that. Look, we had the grand scale McFarlanes. Right, he did Taker, he did Triple H, he did that beautiful Macho Man that you have on your dining room table. We've had Unmatched Fury, which is not even close to that level. I'm thinking something along that line that's going to appeal more towards the collector market. They've tried the monsters, the zombies, the mutants. They don't seem to be moving that well. I think that they're starting to actually scale the zombies back a little bit. I haven't seen as many out on the pegs as I have in the past. It looks like that first wave hit and was gone, and they don't seem to be restocking them. I don't know if that means they're drying up or they're not moving as well. Not sure, but I would imagine that line might be winding down. I'm hoping anyway. They've tried that to gear towards the kids. It doesn't seem to be working that well. They tried those little micro brawler guys. I forget the name of them. Forgive me.
Uh-huh.
They tried those little micro guys. They had play sets and everything. Those failed. They tried a whole bunch of different... Not grip and flip was the first thing that popped into my head, but they were like the ones that you could spin at the waist. They had little actions. Those
right.
failed. Mattel has shown a tendency to fail with everything outside of, like Breaker said, their basics, their elites, their defining moments, their battle packs, their retros. Everything else has failed. So they're not striking that chord with what kids are looking for. So why not take it out of that realm and kick it up to the collector side? Give us something along the lines of Unmatched Fury. Of course, we're not expecting something along the lines of like the McFarlane statues I mentioned earlier, but maybe something like a little bit larger scale than what we got from the Unmatched Furies, you know, and make it very, very select names that you're bringing in for that line. You know, you don't even have to do four of them at a time like Unmatched Fury did. You could do two at a time and release two every 6 months. But it would be like super high-end collectible. Maybe it's like a Toys R Us or a Target exclusive, something like that. Because mm-hmm. I've just seen them try to appeal to all the little actions and gimmicks, and we've had talking figures that are still warming the pegs as well that are mm-hmm. going to be on clearance at Target here fairly soon. All of these other lines seem to just fade out. You know, they might... excuse me. They might be hot at first, but then they go away and you never see them again. They're just forgotten. They tried, this wasn't Mattel, but they even tried that stack down. That failed.
Yep.
You know, so nothing seems to be latching on with the kids except for the running basic and elite lines. Stick it at that. step it up to the collector side, who tend to have more of the money anyway. You know, give us something that appeals to us. Could you imagine like a full scale, like Macho Man? You know, of course, not along the lines of like your McFarlane, but something in between, like an Unmatched Fury. Give us like a, and I'm not talking figure arts either. Throw those out. You know, give us a nice scale statue Macho Man.
That would be awesome. Dude, what, one thing I was thinking of, because my mind also went to Unmatched Fury. That was where my first thought went to. But here's a little something. What if they made figures that were like the retros, but in the two-up version? Do you think that would work?
I don't know. I don't know if it would or not. I think that the appeal of the two-up is that it's super rare. And I think in small doses, like we talked about this on the two-up, when we've discussed two-ups in the past, I think if they did a few of those, they would move. Like, okay, for Hasbro, for example, you have 12 guys or 10 guys, whatever it is, in an initial assortment. If you pull out four of those names and release them in like a two-up, I think that has some appeal and might move. But we've seen large-scale figures fail in the past as well. So maybe something like that would work if you only did a couple of names and made it like super collectible and put it in a really nice package so that you could either display it out of the package, in which you could put it back in and still have it kind of mint in package, or you could display it in the package. It would look just as good. I'm just thinking they've struck out with so many of these kids products that maybe they need to elevate it up to something like Maddie Collector, to where us collectors with the money that want to spend a higher amount on something super nice, like I mentioned, like a Macho Man statue, give us something like that. If it goes away, fine. But all of your other gimmick lines have gone away too. You know, they couldn't even make the Wrestling Buddies stick. The Wrestling Buddies might be an idea.
They are kind of dabbling back in that with Finn Balor. They originally did it with Zack Ryder, Brodus Clay, Cena, Rock.
And I think it was the wrong names.
Yes, I agree.
I think they kind of hit the wrong names. If you redo that with better names, I think it's more of a win. So something like that, if you really want to appeal to the kids, do something like that. But I would like to see them have like a higher collector market product. I honestly think that the smart money is in the retros. I know Breaker said we couldn't go there, but I think that's where the smart money is. They're right in the wheelhouse of an affordable figure. They're $10, you know, assuming you can find them on the pegs. They've got good names coming out.
They're hitting nostalgia.
They're hitting nostalgia. They're hitting current names so that the kids would want to play with them. I think that the retros are Mattel's big thing. That isn't zombies or monsters or mutants or flippy figures or little tiny micro figures or talking figures. I think the retros are it, dude. I know we weren't supposed to say that was it, but I think that is it. I still would love to see like a collector style figure or statue or figurine, kind of like what they did with the NXT Finn that came with the deluxe edition WWE 2K17 game.
Uh-huh.
Maybe something along the lines of that. But I really think that the smart money moving forward is their retro line.
I agree with you. I also think that putting out something equivalent to Unmatched Fury would also be pretty cool.
Yeah. I would like to see something like that. But the one that's going to appeal to kids and the collecting adults is the retro figures. I want to see that line grow leaps and bounds. There is so much potential. That's where the smart money is, in my opinion anyway.
Great question, Breaker.
Yeah, you got our wheels turning on that one.
Scott, Josh Thompson sent in another question.
Nice.
He's been sending them weekly.
I like it.
Josh said, hey guys, back again with a question, third week in a row. Though this time it's a bit more serious. Not secret question serious, but one that I need a duo of wrestling figure experts to answer for me. Uh-oh, he sent it in to us.
Well, you know, we are the wrestling figure gods, so I think he's come to the right place.
Oh, good call. At Ringside Fest, Mattel said that if Ringside Exclusive Belt Pack was a hit and sold good, they would do another one. With that in mind, do you think that the Belt Pack is going to be a hit? I personally think so. Nothing on Elite Series, but I don't want to wait around for a certain action figure or guy to have a belt I want. I'm hoping that the Belt Pack does well, but that it's in stock by the time I'm able to get it, because it's got a certain hardcore belt that I missed out on getting, along with the awesome Kane figure, and I wouldn't mind having the Rated R belt. And yes, I will use your guys' discount code when I buy the pack off Ringside Collectibles, Josh Thompson. So if you go back and you look at all those belts that they put out in that belt pack, they're all belts that they made that they can't really use for guys. So
yes,
it's the hardcore title. Well, you're not making a Crash Holly. You're not making a hardcore Holly. You threw it in with Kane. Okay. You're not making a Raven. So
that leaves you with pretty much like Big Show and Mankind.
Right, right. So you're not really moving that with other figures. The other belt was the Rated R. That's limited to one guy, literally.
Yep.
Other belts in that set is the old school Raw tag titles. So who are you throwing that in with?
The Highlanders, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Or the Heartthrobs. Oh, wait, no. Heartthrobs never won them.
Crime Time, perhaps?
What was Sylvain Grenier? What was their tag team name? Rob Conway,
La Resistance.
Yes, thank you. So, and also the SmackDown tag title from 2003, 2004. You can throw that in with Eddie, I guess. But what I'm saying is a lot of these belts, they're just basically saying, hey, we've got extra of these belts. Let's sell it in a belt pack. So it's a good marketing idea by Mattel to actually do that. So the thing is that they're going to put out belts that aren't moving. They're not going to put out the Universal title because they want you to go out and buy the Elite. They're not going to put in the Heavyweight title because they want you to go out and buy the Elite. So it's a smart idea on Mattel's part to package all the belts that they were limited on putting out with one person or one or two guys. It was smart of them to do that. So are they going to put out another one? I can see that happening. I just don't know what belts they're going to throw in.
Yeah, assuming that this one moves well, which I'm sure that it will, because people love the Elite belts, I think you'll see more sets. My original idea when I saw that they were doing this with a series of five belts per pack was, why not do like a WWE with the current roster of belts, pick five? You could do a WWF with like the IC, the old world tag team titles, and the old, either the 86 title that you like so much, or the Winged, or both. You could do a WCW title pack. You could do an NWA title pack. You could do an ECW title pack. I'm thinking you could separate it out by federation and release a pack of five belts and just make it per federation for $20. I don't know who wouldn't be on board with that, especially if you have a big collection of loose figures. These things just add so much value to each individual figure that you put them on. I think it's a win if they can keep doing these and then make it per federation. I think that's a huge win.
But that's the thing is like, okay, what if they do current belts? And let's say they put out another AJ with the heavyweight title. It's like, oh, that's another AJ. I've already got the belt pack. I don't need to get the AJ. I've already got six other AJs.
Well, then you're actually buying the figure for the figure. It forces Mattel to actually do different things with the figures so that people aren't just buying them for the belts.
That's
or trying to cut the package open to steal the belt out.
That's a good point. That's actually a good call on doing the old school belts, like the old school tag belts or the old school 86 title or 87 title or doing the Winged Eagle. I think the old school belts, I think that's a good idea. The 86 title, I could see that one being in the next belt pack because they only had it for one guy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so specific to that particular Hogan, you know, and due to the fact that he's not there anymore, what are you going to do with that belt? Well, you're going to stick it in a five pack and sell it for $20.
Yeah, exactly. The last belt in that was the World Heavyweight title with the NWO spray painted on it. So that one they kind of threw in. You could put that, obviously it was for Hogan. I guess you could put it in with Nash.
Yeah, or the Giant.
Or the Giant. Yeah, you could
Luger.
Do that.
Yeah, people do buy the figures just for the belts, don't they?
A lot of people do.
Yeah, and see, one thing that I used to like that Jax did was they actually put out packs of just belts. I remember KB Toys carried them, and I think it was a pack of like five or six belts or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't anything to the belts. They didn't have any color on them. It was just the gold plate and then the strap. But I always thought that that was awesome because being able to display your figures with titles on them, I just think it adds value to the figure. It makes it look better. I would actually like to see them continue with these five packs, five or six, whatever they want to do, and make it maybe era specific or federation specific. And I think that they'd be onto something there.
Well, they could do the NWO title because if they're going to do it, like, let's say they're going to do another Ric Flair, you can't throw in the World Heavyweight title. So that one be out because people want to buy the Ric Flair with the heavyweight title or something like that.
Right, right.
So they could throw in the ECW title. They're not making any RVDs anytime soon, or who else?
Taz.
Yeah, they're not making any of those guys. So they put that in with Terry Funk. So why don't they just offload it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
In the belt pack. Yeah. Yep. So that was a good question. Thank you, Josh. So in summary, yes, I have a feeling they will be coming out with more. Just don't know which ones.
Agree.
Scott, our next, this is actually kind of interesting, and this will get some discussion. This came from Chris on Twitter. Is it possible to like a podcast on a subject you're not fond of? I thought you guys did an in-depth look at the Hasbro line and its significance, but I just don't get the love of this product. I know this is sacrilege, but to me, they are not realistic in the least. They have over-exaggerated bodies and features. The panel seems to think they are on point with the faces and are realistic. But someone mentions the wacky world of Hasbros. These figures pale in comparison to Galoob's. Their WCW line was realistic and less exaggerated bodies, to each their own, but I ask, are you guys looking at this through the rose-colored glasses of nostalgia? Then to rip Mattel on pricing, it's not the 90s with low cost of plastic. If you want figures like the WrestleMania 7 defining moment Macho Man, it's going to cost a little bit of money. Also, Chris mentioning how Jack's style bodies might be loved one day. I wonder why he mentioned that. I'm a proponent of his product on many occasions, but Jack's bodies suck. You want figures with the latest technology, not some with outdated bodies. I love old Star Wars and G.I. Joes, but they are limited in look and articulation. The Joes were way better than Star Wars, but still, I can see them for what they are, what they were compared to the Black Series, and even the current 3 3/4. Mattels are great, but have flaws and can't compare to the Marvel line now. But I have hope the face paint technology, they'll get better. Love the passion and research, but just have some criticisms. Don't rip up the Fig Life card. Take care, and I can't wait to hear your podcast Sunday. Scott, what do you think?
Somebody show Chris the door, please. No, really. No, show Chris the door, please. He's he's thrown right out of here. Get the hook. Chris, I'm sorry. Your time on the Fully Posable podcast is up. Agree to disagree. No, I am absolutely not looking at Hasbro through rose-colored glasses. I thought that they were perfect for the era that they were representing. You know, the early 90s WWF was colorful. It was over the top. It was larger than life. And I think that the Hasbros absolutely 100% captured that. Were they a little bit cartoony looking? Sure they were. But everybody in the WWF at that time was cartoony looking. The Galoobs, I agree. They were more realistic looking. But I think that's the beauty of it, is that you were able to distinguish between two different lines from two different federations, and you knew exactly who was who. I don't know. Maybe it's a preference. I actually put Galoob up there as one of my favorite lines of all time, and we've talked about this, but Hasbro is far and away, in my mind. Not only did it have the longevity, but I think that the figure designs were better too. Far and away, Hasbro beats out Galoob. But again, it's all a matter of opinion. If you want realistic, you know, maybe Galoob was your thing, but I don't see how some of the Hasbros weren't realistic. They were colorful. The mechanisms on them I thought were fantastic. The attention to detail was beautiful. I mean, I don't want to rehash our Hasbro episode, but no, absolutely not is this rose-colored glasses. That love for the Hasbro line is legitimate. Maybe with LJN, when we have that show, it will be rose-colored glasses because we can point out a few flaws in that line. But Hasbro overall, aside from the Ric Flair, that entire line was just love from start to finish, home runs left and right.
I thought that they did a fantastic job on a lot of figures. Like, if you, granted, I didn't like the spring action of Hawk, but if you look at that LOD, oh, those are fantastic. If it wasn't for Mattel's first Legend series of LOD, those would be my favorite.
Right, right. That would be your favorite Legion of Doom of all time.
Almost every figure was spot on, and to capture that in almost 4 inches of plastic, it was just, the Hasbros just had that feeling. It had that specialness. And as you mentioned, not taking anything away from Galoobs, they were more realistic. I actually liked the Galoob Steiner brothers better than the Hasbro Steiner brothers.
Right.
But it was something about them capturing all the WWF guys. And we were WCW guys at the time too.
Yes, we were. We watched both products.
I mean, if you look at that Brett from Series 8, the red card, everything about it is just perfect. From the pink on his singlet to the glasses, everything, the snarl, everything was perfect. It was cartoony. I tend to go away from cartoony when it comes to my figures, but Hasbro had me. They had me hook, line, and sinker. They knew what they were doing. They had it perfectly.
And I agree, because they stand up. And I mentioned earlier when we did that show, we had our entire Hasbro collection laid out in front of us. It lost nothing from my original memories of that whole Hasbro line. In fact, I love them more now, I think, than I did back then, just because of how well they've held up over time. That line, there's a reason that it's so popular and it's so loved, is because of how well it stood up and the attention to detail that Hasbro put into all the mechanisms, the accessories, everything makes sense. It really is the perfect line. And I'm not just saying that because of the nostalgia and I'm looking back and, oh, better times. Not at all. Because if we had put out the LJNs in front of us, some of those figures wouldn't have stood up to the test of time. We would have been able to pick out a lot more flaws than we noticed when we were kids. But going back and looking at the Hasbros, they're as good, if not better now, than they were back in the 90s. I'm sorry, I absolutely love the Hasbro line, and it has nothing to do with nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia is part of it, but that's not the sole reason why.
It's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, everybody has an opinion on something, you know? Whether you like Galoob's over Hasbro's, or you like Mattel's over Jack's, or whatever it may be, you know? Everybody has an opinion on something.
And look, I wish the Galoob's had gone as long as Hasbro's. I would have loved that. Could you imagine the dream matches we could have had with those rosters?
Oh, dude, having a Dusty in Galoob?
Oh, Nikita Koloff, the Rock and Roll Express, come on, the Midnight Express. The rosters that were there at the time, had Galoob been able to continue on to, like, you know, a Series 7, 8, or 9, I would have loved that, because we would have bought every single Galoob like we bought every single Hasbro, and it would have been glorious. But unfortunately, Galoob screwed up for whatever reason, and we didn't get more lines aside from what the UK got. And that sucks, because we've always talked about our love for Galoob's, but it just doesn't compare to our love for Hasbro's.
Right, right. Yeah, we would have had the Yeti. Oh, man, we would have had so many good figures.
Dude.
We would have had the whole Dungeon of Doom.
Done with you. I'm not talking to you anymore. just go let Chris back in the room and stop it.
Oh, Chris, thank you for sending in that question. I hope you're doing well over there, man.
Take care, bud.
Scott, we got a question from good buddy James Frank. Hope him and Shannon are doing well down in Southern California.
Absolutely, our good friends.
James said, I think Hasbro should have made a manager line, because managers were such a big part of wrestling back then. And he said, Jimmy Hart with Megaphone, Mr. Fuji with Kane, Miss Elizabeth, Sherry Martel, Bobby Heenan. He says he would have loved a manager line. There is a question too, but we'll kick it off with that. Dude, that would have been perfect if they would have had managers.
I would have loved it. And to get even one female figure in the Hasbro line would have been fantastic.
So his question was, how important do you think it is for figures to look like the characters on TV? Not just wrestling figures, but all action figures. Also, how more inclined were you to play with a toy that looked like what you were watching on TV? Hearing your Doom story made me think of this.
I think when we were younger, very inclined. It's why we didn't use Outback Jack and Ted Arcidi all that much when we were having our matches.
Or Hercules.
Yeah, or Hercules. Well, because Hercules looked different, to his point about how different they look on TV. But we didn't see Outback Jack very often. We didn't see Ted Arcidi very often. The Hercules figure that we were holding in our hands looked nothing like the Hercules that was on television. So yeah, that figure got tossed aside. Plus, that costume was awful. but yeah, it's why we beat the hell out of our Hart Foundation and our British Bulldogs and our Hogan and our Warriors and our Junkyard Dogs and our Savages. Absolutely, when we were younger, 100% influenced by the guys that we were seeing on TV every week versus the guys that were on once every 4 months. Absolutely, 100% influenced. Yeah, no doubt about it.
So that goes back to the Doom question last week, or Doom Godfather's hat, when Doom was put out there in their sweatpants. I still played with Doom, but it didn't have that feel. It just didn't have that two badasses walking down to the ring. It was like you said, two badasses walking it into the gym.
Yeah, no, totally. From the waist up, those Doom figures were perfect.
Yes.
And this goes back to Chris's point about Galoob. very realistic looking. I loved those Doom figures from the waist up. From the waistband down, sweatpants and tennis shoes, that didn't do it for me at all. Now, if you're putting black tights and black boots, possibly packaging loose masks with them, that might be the greatest tag team set of all time. That would rival the Nasty Boys, in my mind, in the Hasbro line.
Good point.
But that's not what we got, unfortunately. It definitely decreased the playability as far as I'm concerned with Doom. But looking at the Sting, the Pillman, the basically the rest of the Galoob line minus Doom, like you mentioned, the Steiner brothers are better in the Galoob line than they are in the Hasbro line. That definitely increased the playability for those figures because they looked exactly how they looked on television. At a younger age, absolutely, that 100% influences your playtime with the figures. No doubt.
There were other figures that didn't look like them or weren't featured on TV, like Bruno Sammartino. I didn't know Bruno was a wrestler at that time.
No. And SD Jones lost all of his matches.
Although I would have SD face Bundy.
Well, sure, because WrestleMania won.
So I would have Bundy just beat the crap out of SD Jones. So he was basically jobbing out to bad guys.
Yeah, you put 9 seconds on the stopwatch, start counting it down. Match is over.
Hells yeah.
Keeping it real.
Yep. I'm trying to think of who else I didn't use that much. Like, I used Jake a lot. I used Steamboat, Savage, Heart Foundation, Bulldogs.
What was the guys we were seeing every Saturday morning, every Saturday night on Saturday Night's Main Event, and every Monday night on primetime? Those are the guys that we were using. It wasn't, like you said, the Bruno Sammartinos or the Outback Jacks or the Ted Arcides, or even to a certain extent, the Terry Funk.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Because Terry was pretty much gone by like 87, I think.
Yeah.
And that decreased his playability as far as I was concerned. I barely used him. I had Hogan beat him every once in a while, but I really didn't use the Terry Funk much.
That's a good point, dude. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, there were just some guys that came out in that LJN line that just came out too late. And then some guys straight up you couldn't even use, like the Rick Rude.
That is true. I actually would keep using Kirpal Kirshner even when he was off TV.
He had a cool look. It was a cool looking figure, and you could do some cool matches with him because you still had your Sheik and Volkoff that needed opponents.
Right. So I would still continue to use Kirpal Kirshner even though he was off TV. I would use Volkoff all the time. I didn't use Jesse. It was mainly because of his pose.
When he was an announcer. He wasn't an in-ring performer when we were wrestling with those figures.
That part too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it helps that the guys actually look like what they would wear to the ring, wear in the ring. So it helped out a lot.
But it did not determine if we purchased them or not. Because if they were released, we were buying them. Regardless if we were going to play with them or not, we had to have them all.
And even when Mom got into an accident, we still made her go to Toys R Us.
Yes, we did, as you can hear on the Marty and Sarah podcast.
Yep, that is a kids episode. It's adorable. Go download from Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. You will hear Scott and I on there telling a little fun story, a little kid-friendly story. Of course, our show is usually kid-friendly, sometimes.
Well, you know, we try as best we can. We are still potty mouse and sailors at the end of the day.
And actually just check out all their episodes. Go back and download all their episodes. It's a fun listen. Scott, you know what else people can do while they're listening to Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling or some of our old episodes?
Yes, they can download our old episodes, hit us up in our DMs for our 2 for $20 deal, or go to whatamaneuver.net. Is that what you were thinking?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, you want to keep going? I'm going to kick my feet up like a boss, dude.
Nope, I did that 2 weeks ago for you.
Ah, darn it. Okay.
Your favors are used up, sir.
People can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Please rate and review on iTunes like Chili Bob.
Chili Bob.
Yep. You can email us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Like Breaker, Bane, James, Josh, and Chris did.
You let Chris back in, right?
Oh, yeah. Chris has got his card back, dude. We can never take away that card from him.
No, absolutely not. I just wanted to make sure you let him back in. Because that's what makes this Fig Life community great, is difference of opinion.
Yes. We don't argue about figures, but we like to discuss figures.
We might throw you out in the cold for like 20 seconds or so, but then we'll let you right back in.
Don't badmouth Hasbros.
Ever.
So, Scott, for episode 95, anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.